full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Open the pod bay doors, Mel.
You shall not pass!
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
I am nothing! No!
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Get busy, Larry.
All right, gentlemen, the Newell brothers, they're here. They're back.
We're back.
How are we?
Hey. Very well, Mike. Thanks for having me back on.
No worries. What was the last one you did?
Oh, God, I don't even know. It's been a while, though.
It was a Nolan one, though.
Prestige, maybe? Was that me?
Nah.
Nah.
The Hancock brothers, another brother duo.
Dunkirk? I don't know. We haven't done Dunkirk.
Nah.
Maybe it was Inception. I don't know.
Could have been.
Probably Inception.
Yeah, with Walshy. great start from us. Gentlemen, great to have you on and a great film to be chatting about, The Dark Knight. But before we do, quick shout out to the sponsor of this episode, El Toro Tequila, authentic Mexican tequila. We actually are drinking them this episode.
We are.
We got their cans. They're cold. I've got the lime ranch water. What have you guys got?
I've got the mango margarita.
What do you think of it?
Let me have a sip.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Mm. Of course, drink responsibly, over 18s only. Is that the first time you've
had
it?
Don't ask what I'm drinking.
This actually is the first El Toro. No,
hang on. Yeah,
oh, go ahead.
It's good. Sorry. Angus, sorry, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Paloma.
And what do you think?
What's a Paloma? It's grapefruit. So it's basically the ranch water plus grapefruit.
Mm.
So if you like grapefruit.
It's good. It's nice and smooth, refreshing. And yeah, we're a bit slow today. I don't know why. But let's get in. One word and 5-star rating about The Dark Knight. One of the great films. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll go. One word for me would be Rachel.
Nice.
And,
like it.
And 4.5.
Wow. Okay.
You know me. I can never.
Yeah, 4.5.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Fair enough. Angus.
Mine is balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because like the two main characters, like if you put them, I guess, on one of those like fucking
scales.
Yeah, that's the word. they like balance each other out. You've got like the like serious, calculated nature of Batman, and then you've got just the chaotic Joker. Mm. And mine's 5 stars.
Nice.
Oh, you're
actually
nice,
my
man.
Actually, my third.
Mine was Rachel, and yours was balance.
Yeah, I'm more.
He's a calculated guy.
So wise man. Wow.
Mine's actually like my third ranked movie of all time for me.
So it's out of 5.
I already said 5.
Oh, did you? Sorry.
Yeah.
Completely went
over
my
2.
Head. Because it's so foreign coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's a 5. I've said it.
Wow,
there.
Man. Nice. There.
You,
I said it.
You got it from me.
My one word, didn't prepare this, but I'm going to say cast. Rewatching it, I was just like, wow, every single big character is just a huge actor. And of course, it's a 5 on the Sestouli scale, probably like a 7 out of 5, just because it's so, so good. But let's dive in. I just wanted to open up the discussion by saying that this movie, from start to finish, similar to like a Top Gun Maverick, I think, has just so many what's called reversals, where there's some sort of issue that needs to be dealt with, and then they solve it, and then there's a new issue, and then they have to solve it, and then new one. And it's just the whole movie, like, roller coaster up and down. What do you think of that? Do you think it's one of the better...
Does that happen in Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah, I would say so. A new problem that they have to solve. Oh no, the training, like they've 2 weeks now instead of 3, and then this happens, and then this
happens.
They're
more like speed bumps.
Speed bumps, yeah.
But the main issue.
In this, it's probably a bit bigger.
Yeah.
But like from the start, we get the bank heist, and they have to work out who did it and why, and then they do, and then it just kickstarts a chain of events.
Yeah. But I feel like that kind of just like is off the back of the Joker having this entire scheme just planned out, and it's just like every little, like even when, you know, Bruce Wayne and his little team, you know, solve something,
yep,
the Joker's already like a few steps ahead.
Mm.
And the Joker knows kind of like what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, and you sort of forget at the end of Batman Begins, they tease the Joker. And I think this was before Iron Man, was it?
No, this was the same year.
Okay. But in terms of like superhero connected films, pretty pioneering.
Begins was 06 and then Dark Knight was 08, yeah.
Yeah. But again, yeah, it just creates such a...
All the little problems you're talking about is like, yeah, it's like every single like 15, 20 minutes is like a new Joker plan of attack, like to do something.
Yeah.
Sometimes not even like for any end result, just for creating like a monstrosity and chaos.
Literally. Let's talk about the bank heist because it's a very iconic introduction to the Joker.
Yeah. Awesome openings.
Obviously, the character of the Joker has been touted as like being very hard to play, and some big actors have played it in history. And
listen,
I think
let me see your knowledge.
Okay, Nicholson, Jared Leto, which was the best one, obviously. Joaquin Phoenix, and don't know the guy that did it in the 60s. And Mark Hamill in the animated voice, ones. You were about to get me on that, weren't you?
Barry Keoghan.
Barry Keoghan coming up. Yeah. Well said.
Isn't it Keoghan though?
I think it's Keoghan in the Irish. But back to it. I think we were probably too young to have been involved in like the hype of Heath Ledger playing the Joker. But in terms of the bank heist, you're following this along. There's all these guys in the masks and crazy set pieces like zip lining into the building and each of them sort of different parts of the bank. And they slowly start saying that this Joker has like organized it and they start killing each other.
Mm.
What do you guys think of like how that sort of played out?
None of them know who the leader is at this point. They're just like hired hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny and it like all comes to a head when they're like down in the actual bank and like they've got the money and they're kind of like who's the actor that plays the bank teller?
I don't know, but he's in like Entourage.
Yeah, he's so familiar.
Yeah.
But he kind of comes out and like
has the shotgun.
And like has a shotgun, gets shot, and he's like, I bet the Joker told you to like shoot me, like and take the money. He's like, No, I meant to kill the bus driver.
Yeah. I was like, what bus? And then the just bus pulls just
miles
in.
Through the wall.
But yeah, he kills him and then
William Faulkner.
Nice
man.
Yeah, he's very familiar face. What else
really
has he been in?
Really Contact. Random that he. Yeah,
he's fairly
had
big
such
in
a
Contact.
Small role. He's in heaps of movies. Actually, he's in a lot of like TV shows.
The Longest Yard. That's a good one.
Yeah, he was the prison guard.
Nah, but he sort of comes good. He's like, it's the game ball at the end. Anyway, but yeah, we don't see the Joker until the guy's like, you think you're tough, like. You guys aren't going to go anywhere. And then he says,
what do you believe in?
Yeah.
What do you believe?
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stranger. And then you see him and you're like, whoa, okay, now we're in for it.
Yeah.
Does that from
like, it's probably from like one of the greatest villain intros ever.
And then there's like that iconic photo from like when they filmed that scene of Heath like standing just like on the street in New York. Just holding like the Joker mask.
Holding the mask and
the bag. And he doesn't have any makeup on his face yet. He's just like fully zoned in.
Yeah, because we never see him without the makeup.
Yeah, never.
So would have been interesting.
Actually, you do.
When he's in the guards.
Yeah.
Prison
yeah,
guard.
When he goes
or
for the
policeman.
Shot. Yeah, when he goes for the shot at like this funeral.
Yeah, nice. After this, we get Batman's introduction, but through the imposters that are trying to get this Scarecrow and his henchmen in the car park, and they're wearing like hockey pads.
I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Yeah, but again, in Batman Begins, he obviously only sort of trains up to being Batman towards the very end, and he's still pretty incompetent then. But here he's just beasting it, gets rid of everyone. And when rewatching this, I forgot how good Hans Zimmer's score was. Especially at the start and all, like throughout, there's some great examples. But fuck, the Dark Knight Zimmer score, I think it's slept on.
Mate, Zimmer throughout like probably like 2008 or even before then through to like 2016.
Yeah.
Was just like in his prime, like all-star caliber in terms of like scoring films.
We have this discussion so often, hey. You
know, why was he so good, man?
We talk about like the primes and now it's Ludwig.
Yeah, like, Ludwig's taken over.
Man, he's like he's just like a free agent getting like traded across like different movies. Like he's that good at just like
he carries franchises literally on his
like,
back.
Yeah, and like Nolan just has him in his pocket, just like ready to go. Although Nolan obviously used Ludwig for
Oppenheimer.
They did a little trade. Fincher took him for
not
Fincher.
Denis
took him for June. Yeah,
yeah.
I will say though. When you have like a Zimmer playlist on or something, when you're like studying or working, and then like a Dark Knight song comes on, and it's like
Chase the Dogs or something.
Yeah, it's like the hard drum and bass, and it's just like so full on. You're just like, oh, and can't like. Yeah.
It's more of like
I do it when I'm running.
Yeah, bit more of a running song, score rather. What do we think of the Joker with the mafia? That's a pretty iconic scene as well in that sort of back kitchen. And we see sort of how he goes about his business.
Fucking great.
Comes in on his own.
And he's got his coat. He doesn't normally wear his big purple coat. It's like part of the outfit.
Yeah.
And then they like all try to get him with their guns.
Because he's like bought his new suit because he's got that money from the,
some cash.
The bank.
Yeah.
And then he like try to like pull guns on him and he opens it up. He's like, da, 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 and he's got his finger on like a grenade. And he's like, ah.
How about when he's got the pencil on the desk and he's like,
you
want to see a magic trick?
Yeah.
I'm going to make this pencil disappear.
I remember being like, what were we, 10?
I definitely didn't see it when I was 10.
Yeah. I remember my brothers saw it and they said that it was like really gory. And I weirdly remember them saying, yeah, like the Joker kills someone with a pencil. And I was like, whoa, like this is scary shit. And right I didn't see it until later.
Right through the eye hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I actually saw this movie until I was like, well, I would have been 8 when it came out. And I don't think I saw it until probably when I was like 13 or 14. I think mum was always like, bit sketched out by like how dark it was.
Yeah.
Dark.
It is quite dark. I love in that sort of scene though, we see like Heath and the Joker's like little mannerisms, like how he speaks. They're like one of them says like he's a freak and he's like, no, I'm not. And he's like
no, I'm not.
Just like little things like that. He's just so
like before we'd
weird.
We're like already 10 minutes into this podcast and I think like 80% of it has been Joker related that we're speaking about. I'm genuinely like with Dark Knight, you'd find yourself with this whole podcast, we're going to be like speaking on the Joker like so much because
he just kills every scene, just takes it over.
Yeah, I was saying before we kind of like actually started recording that like when I was rewatching this the other night, like Dad's sitting next to me and he's just like so invested in every scene that Heath Ledger is playing the Joker and he's just like sitting there just going like, Wow, like, look at our Australian go. Like, he's so good.
And then, like, you he's go like, off and do something when he's off the screen.
Like, when he's not on the screen, you kind of, like, do something else. And it's just, like, you know, Christian Bale being a bit of a goat as well. But then, Heath Ledger comes back on the screen and then you're like, oh, like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
The rewatch value of it is ridiculous.
It's phenomenal.
You can go back and rewatch and just skip to every Joker scene.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Even the rest of the cast, though, as my one word, like you got Morgan Freeman, Maggie Gyllenhaal, like it's just nonstop.
Oldman,
Aaron Eckhart,
Gary Oldman, Michael Caine.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and they all just carry the scenes, but Heath just stands above the rest.
Michael Caine's like only in a few scenes when you like rewatch it. He's big in Begins and he's big in like The Dark Knight Rises. But in The Dark Knight, he's only in like a few scenes.
Yeah. Question for you both: we get. Later, everyone's trying to kill the Joker of the mafia and he pretends to be dead, comes in and he forces a knife on the main like gangster's mouth and he starts telling one of his scars stories.
Oh, the black guy.
Yeah, and he's like, why are you so serious? Obviously very iconic. Do you like not really knowing his origin, like this Joker's origin story?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like it. And I, to your point of like telling when you like one of the Scar stories, like I think there's 3 times where he like gets someone by like the neck and has the knife like in their mouth and he's like telling, I think like they're all different stories. So it's just like,
which one's kinda, true. Yeah, you just don't know,
like,
true?
What's true? Are they all true? Like, is this guy just a freak and he's done it to himself? What's going on? So you don't really know like anything about this guy. You just know that he's just like so destructive. And,
he's just like an entity. That's just there.
He's just a freak.
I had a thought just then. Does he ever laugh in the movie? I don't think he does.
Yeah, he laughs when he's dangling at the end when Batman hangs him upside down. He's like, ha, 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 ha.
So we just had a little chip break courtesy of my mum. Thank you, mum. We were talking about like the Joker's origin story. Yeah. I would sort of be keen to know something because, yeah, it is left up in the air.
There's always just like, isn't the main thing that this guy like fell into a vat of acid?
Yeah.
That's what Jared Leto does. I'm pretty sure that's what they talk about in Jack Nicholson's one.
Yeah.
And like when they fall into the acid, somehow they don't die and they just fucking get heaps become psycho crazy. Yeah.
They already had sort of criminal
undertones.
Yeah. But he is less, I don't know. He's a lot more smart than other Jokers, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knows what's going to happen next, why he has to do certain things to certain people. But he's obviously still very crazy in how he does it. But it would have been interesting to see how he became how he is because he's so smart. Like could he have been just like a very successful person?
Was he like, yeah, you could like think of anything. Like, was he like an army vet or something that like just very calculated?
Yeah.
And then, you know, something bad happened in his life.
And
or was he just like, you know, you're born, his like brain capacity and, you know, natural talent was always there, but just the socioeconomic like stuff that happened to him, like with his childhood, family.
Yeah.
Where he lived.
Yeah, but like why does he hate? Because he just hates Gotham, right? That's his main motive at the end of the day.
He just wants to create chaos. And it's like all the YouTube videos I watch about it, it's just like he has no real end motive. It's just like to, you know, create the most amount of chaos with like the least amount of resources.
Yeah.
Like when he gets all those mob people back in and goes, yeah, I'll give you guys all the money so we can all have even chunks of it and you guys all become like part of my plan, and then he gets them all there and then he just lights the freaking pile of money on fire in front of all of them.
Yeah.
Is there any like part of you that watches like what he's doing and thinks like he thinks he's doing something good? Like he's creating more equality for like the people of Gotham. He's like putting everyone on an even playing field.
Yeah. Well, I think we sort of see that in the first one with how there's sort of that like segregated part of Gotham that is like sort of suffering and hasn't been sort of, accounted for within the Gotham society. So kind of, but like I don't think we really see it as much. It's more of just like Gotham in general, especially at the end with the boat scene.
And then he sort of just like starts getting pissed off at this guy, Batman, is like, you know, interfering with all his plans. So then he just sort of focuses his like prerogative on, you know, putting him in situations where he has to make tough choices where, you know, save one person or let thousands die or, the boat situation at the end.
Yeah.
We can talk about.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how, again, the movie sort of starts to make you believe that the Gotham police and Batman are like succeeding in containing him and withstanding all of his like chaotic acts. But then we get his, it all happens like simultaneously. The judge is prosecuting all the mafia guys that Harvey is putting away in jail. The police commissioner and Harvey himself all get done at once, where the judge gets her car blown up. The commissioner is with Detective Gordon and gets poisoned by the scotch, and then Harvey gets kidnapped. I think he gets kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you're sort of being led by the movie to think, okay, the good guys have the upper hand, and then just bang.
Yeah, like he's just under the surface the whole time, like plotting.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh shit, like he's done it again, and now they've got to solve it again. And then meanwhile, Bruce Wayne is hosting that party in his apartment, and in comes the Joker, and he's like, tonight's entertainment, and he just starts taking names, trying to find Harvey. Actually, that's where he tries to find Harvey. What do we think of that scene?
That's another one where he tells how he got the scars to Maggie Gyllenhaal's character.
Mm. Was there a lot of I'd have thought while rewatching this, and I don't know, was there a lot of improv in that scene? Because he's just sort of going around.
Yeah, he's kind of like everyone's like in a circle watching him. He's kind of just like waltzing around, like he's got his little like mob of people with him.
Yeah,
he's like. You know, he pulls a champagne glass out of like some model's hand and like flicks it and like has a little sip and then just
it's like a tiny little drop and like flicks it everywhere.
Droplet left and he flicks.
Yeah, that
it.
Was all improv. I'm pretty sure him like controlling the room.
Yeah,
yeah. He's got like his little shotgun. He's like kind of tapping people in the chin and being like, "Come on, where's Harvey?"
Yeah. Imagine being an extra and it's like, all right, action. And then in comes Heath Ledger, who's obviously
just
like
runs the show.
Yeah, and he's done his like month's prep on his own. Which is, you know, famously known. What did he do in that? He just sort of
locked himself in a hotel room and started trying to get the inflections of that tone and voice for the Joker, but mostly just writing in a journal like what he thought the Joker would like think about on a day-to-day basis.
Oh my God.
For a month.
I wonder what's in that journal.
And that's what sort of fucked him in the end.
Yeah. But yeah, seeing that scene, yeah, he's just taking names. But. I think Batman saves Harvey.
No, Batman.
No, Harvey wasn't
so
there.
Like he puts Harvey in like the bunker or something.
Oh yeah,
and then like Rachel's out on the floor with the Joker, and like the Joker like goes up to Rachel and tells his little like scar story about his wife.
Mm.
He's like, she can't stand the sight of me.
Yeah,
and then kind of takes her hostage, and then like Batman's like, let her go, and he's like, he's like that's a very poor choice of words, and then just drops her out the side of the window, yeah. And Bruce Wayne goes and saves her. But I think it's just like the Joker's almost just like comedic in a sense where he's just like, as you said, just like creating chaos, but just like at his own peril, like he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. I think that's where the police chick Ramirez sent Harvey and he gets kidnapped.
The kidnappings happen after that. But it's Maggie Gyllenhaal and Harvey that both get kidnapped because then there's the decision that needs to be made and they have to like send people to both areas to try to find them.
Yeah.
But how have we not talked about the interrogation scene?
Yeah.
Which happens while they're getting kidnapped, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best scenes in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Bale and Ledger just going at it and Gordon as well. But Heath's acting in that.
Gordon gets put on the sidelines, but yeah. And both of them.
Heath's acting in that, like for him to be laughing and also like sort of teasing out that Batman's going to have to make this decision. I don't know if he actually gets punched in the face, but he
gets head slammed onto the desk.
Yep. And then to continue talking and like be laughing and like gets smashed in the face. And again, just still laughing. I don't know. Yeah. And he's just loving it.
And he goes, like, you're a freak like me.
Is that what you say in the mirror to yourself? But yeah, it's a crazy scene. And again, I wonder how much sort of improv there was in there. Couple iconic scenes before that as well. One, Michael Caine tells Bruce about how he's talking about that Burmese story of like the sort of overlord of this town, and he's got an iconic quote that relates to the Joker, which is some men just want to watch the world burn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Bruce and Alfred sort of realize what the Joker's about. The other one is the truck scene.
Hit me. I want you to do it. Yeah. Come on. Hit me. I want you to do it.
Yeah, why doesn't he just run him over and end it all?
Also, why
Batman is a loser?
But like,
that's why.
I know
he doesn't kill anyone.
Actually, I was gonna say like when Batman kind of just like stacks it and he's like on the ground. I always like watch that scene, not realizing that Gary Oldman's about to come in and save the day and like arrest him. I'm like, how did he get so fucked up by that fall? He's like lying on the ground.
He's
supposed to be in like a
bulletproof, like dog-proof suit of armor.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's just on the ground, like.
The one that's definitely worse, obviously, from the different movie, the Batman, is when Robert Pattinson gets absolutely decked when like flying with his wingsuit
and just
smashes into like the side of a building in a truck. Like that's way worse than like his like spill on the bike.
Yeah, a couple broken bones maybe. But yeah, you're like, man, how does that get you? But also like Batman would surely know what this man is capable of doing, which he nearly blows up like thousands of people on these boats. If he just killed him right then, on the bike and hit him.
He's part of that, like, what's the thing called? The League of...
League of Shadows.
League of Shadows. And I feel, isn't that like, it's sort of like, it'd be like some sort of Buddhist type thing where they're like,
they kill people, but he goes against it.
He goes against Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn.
He's in the mix.
finds Alfred Borden, the magician, and makes him kill a poor innocent man from that Nepalese town. He didn't have to kill him, but couldn't he just like hit him with the bike
and fully paralyze him?
Yeah, he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they had to arrest him.
True, that's true.
If you think about it, you wouldn't have got the interrogation scene if he didn't, you know, turn his bike at the last second.
That was such a him scene. It starts like such a him scene. Like it starts with the semi-trailer and he like opens up the side of it and he's like, the hair's like going through him and he's like hanging off it. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, just give me that. And he's got like a bazooka. And he's like, oh, what am I going to do here? He's always like so unbalanced and everything.
When the truck flips over and he like gets out and he's like stumbling around and like firing his like machine gun all over the place.
He gets like fully walking up. He's like a regular guy. Like obviously doesn't do any like weight training or anything. And obviously Bruce Wayne is like training all the time. And he just gets so banged up all the time and just like
getting ragged all around.
His neck around and he's like all good again.
Amazing scenes, but yeah, the interrogation scene, just some great acting. What do you think? Obviously, he passed away, but what do you think was, because there's always sort of one scene that leads people to winning their Oscars. What do you think was Heat's? Was it the interrogation scene? Was it just the general whole movie and all the improv that he did? We already talked about like being in Bruce Wayne's party and all that sort of stuff.
I think it's an element of the interrogation scene plus like overtaking like every scene that he's in, even when the main character of Batman is in them as well and other pretty high level actors.
Yep.
Like you can't take your eyes off him.
Yeah.
That like has to come into an element of like any voting or scouting that they do for those awards. And then I just think like the tonal work that he does for the voice and like the character creation.
Yeah.
Like obviously Jack Nicholson's very good at playing like a bit of a crazy guy, like in The Shining or as the Joker himself. But he doesn't like Heath put another like X factor on top of it. And like it's so hard to mirror the tonal pauses and inflections that he does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's subtly added, but it creates such a big impact. Yeah, definitely agree. What about the ultimatum? Rachel and
Harvey.
Because again, he knows what Batman's going to choose and he's flipped the switch in the background. So he says that where Rachel is actually where Harvey is. And so Batman goes after Rachel, which, by the way, we don't get the answer to this, but how would the Joker have known, one, that Batman likes Rachel, but two, obviously it's like Bruce Wayne likes Rachel because he knew that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's like, oh, you want Harvey's little like side piece or whatever he says. But the way the scene plays out is just crazy. I remember rewatching this. Harvey and Rachel are both just such like admirable people.
They're both saying to go for the other one.
Yeah, they're like, no, you're going to be saved. They're talking on the phone. They have 5 minutes until one of them's going to die.
Yeah.
And they're both like so chill about it. And Harvey's like, no, you're going to be saved. It's all good.
yeah,
I'm going to be fine. And she immediately is just like being sympathetic to that.
Yeah. I think like, I think the Joker's whole plan there was like, obviously we know that like his end goal was like to corrupt Harvey Dent and like go in from the inside and just create chaos from the inside. Mm. So it's like, he knows that like Batman's obviously going to save one of them, and like whichever one Batman goes after, that's who he's going to save. So whether he tells him Rachel's there or Harvey's here, Batman's going to get there first and Gary Oldman's character's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like,
maybe he didn't even know anything about the Rachel Bruce Wayne like love interest. It was more just make sure that Bruce doesn't go to anyone but Harvey.
Mm.
And save Harvey to piss Harvey off.
He knew that Harvey
he knew that those two,
Rachel, were dating. Yeah. So it's just like
to ruin Harvey, we just get Rachel.
Yeah.
And then this is where he becomes Two-Face.
Yes, which is a great sort of subtle way, because it, like watching it for the first time, you don't know that Two-Face is going to be introduced into this movie, and he kicks the oil drums over. Obviously, gets saved by Batman. We get the iconic, if you want to do it, Tom, what does he scream out?
Rachel!
But that's the other thing. Like he would have assumed that Batman would save one of them. And the fact that the result of the bombings was that Harvey had half of his body burnt.
Yeah,
it was like an added little bonus for the Joker.
I know. Like I wonder how much of like the Joker's plan just ended up being like luck. Just like things happen that just kind of like went his way.
Probably a bit, genuinely.
Yeah.
If you really want to like analyze like his entire, every plan that he has across the whole movie, like you're like, okay, like some of these things are a roll of the dice for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Has to be.
He's probably he's probably walking through wherever the hell he like lives or like stays. He's just like
where does
happy.
He live?
He's like, hee, hee, hee.
On the note of like Two-Face, and obviously there's the, you get to the scene where he's like, you know, like if someone doesn't kill, you know, this guy in the next hour, like I'm going to blow up a hospital.
Mm.
And it comes to the scene where it's like the Joker and Harvey Dent in the hospital room.
Mm.
This scene is the funniest scene in the whole movie.
Yes. Yeah.
The Joker in there with makeup on, green hair. Wearing
a nurse's outfit.
Wearing a nurse's outfit with a mask on. And Harvey Dent's on the bed, doesn't think anything. The Joker takes the mask off and he's like, damn you.
He starts
he's only just realized that it's the fucking Joker, not just like a real
Couldn't
nurse.
See the eyes or anything.
It's like hairy legs coming out of the nurse's dress. And it's just
hairy
like
arms too.
Fucking white face with like black paint around his eyes.
And he's like,
and red mouth.
Hi.
He's like, hi. Yes, it's me.
It's so true. Like, how did he not realize? And this guy has killed the love of his life, and he sort of starts to let him do whatever he wants. He's like given up at that point.
He's fully corrupted, yeah.
Yeah.
So when he starts getting dark with his coin as well, his double-sided coin.
Yeah. After that, the hospital bombing itself, just insane set piece.
Mm.
And obviously he's like clicking the trigger and it doesn't work. Was that?
That was legit, wasn't it?
They mistimed it. Production mistimed it, and freaking Heath just continues in character. Yeah. He's like
tapping the thing,
and then he clicks it and goes
like,
off,
whoa, and then runs away. But they, I don't know if
that reaction of whoa was probably real too, because he was like, oh,
yeah,
it's not going off, and then when it does go off, he's like, oh shit,
yeah. I think they, I don't know if they built the building, but they literally destroyed a whole building. And when it sort of zooms out, there's like an industrial park around it. You're like, this is not a hospital.
It's definitely like some old building. Sorry. And they like had to like tear it down for construction. And Chris is like, yeah, you guys might have blown that up.
So this
it's like
city.
Gotham General, which is probably the equivalent of like the Royal North Shore Hospital.
I was going to say, this city of 30 million people, this is Gotham General Hospital.
It was like,
CBD.
It was like three stories high.
Yeah. Sorry,
it's
what?
Tiny.
Yeah. I call bullshit on that. After this, we get the ferry situation. They say to evacuate the city because the Joker threatens to like blow up bridges and blow up all this stuff in the city.
What they've also done is they've gotten all of the like mobsters and stuff, everyone that Harvey Dent put away throughout his whole career, like on one ferry.
Yeah.
like basically leaving Gotham being free.
When they're talking about, and this is why there's the two ferries, they put all these people on the ferries and they put Harvey's people on the other one. You're telling me in Gotham, city again of 30 million people, there's only two ferries?
I know. There wasn't even more, like when they have the big like wide shot of the harbour, there's only two ferries evacuating people off the island.
Come on, man. Like,
it's just like.
Well, because that's why they go on the ferries, because he threatens to blow up bridges. Like there's not other boats. Like, come on. This is just not realistic.
They intend to do about 500 trips with two ferries. Yeah. Get everyone out.
Yeah. So I hate to nitpick. This is an amazing movie. But it is a little bit of a question mark. But obviously you're there for the ride. And the way that that plays out, what did you guys think of that? Because they both have to – one ferry's going to – or they're both going to blow up at like midnight.
Yeah.
And they both have detonators.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty like one of them does it.
It's before. So suspenseful, man.
It's so, there's just so much suspense building up, and it kind of like, obviously, like you've got like, you don't really hear much from the prison, but everyone's just kind of like, oh, like we don't really know what to do here. But then obviously, like the civilians are like, they had their chance. Like they murdered and they stole. Like,
yeah.
It's like, why should they live and we shouldn't? It's just
it's,
like.
Yeah, it's like the Joker's way of saying you can bring out the bad in anyone. Yeah. He's already done it to Harvey.
Yeah.
Like one of the most celebrated like cops heroes. Slash. Yeah, heroes.
Who has Gotham. Said that he was Batman at this point as well.
And, but then like there is a couple times where, actually no, is it just like all the criminals like, fuck it, I don't even care. And one guy, one massive guy walks up and like to the guard and like staunches him, takes it off.
Takes it off.
And pegs it out the window.
Yeah.
Guy with the Mike Tyson tattoo on his face.
Yeah. But the other thing is, again, back to like the reversal. So while this huge thing is happening where thousands of people might die, the cops and Batman are having to break into the building where there's all those hostages.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the Joker's also there. Add another layer of reversal. Oh, no, the people in clown masks are actually the hostages and the people tied up are the bad guys. And Batman has to...
He's like
defeat the police.
He's like fighting the SWAT team as well as like actual like monsters.
It's because the SWAT teams are trying to like kill the guys with masks on.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying about like reversals. Like I think it was Chris Nolan who did the screenplay. He's just there in his room like, all right, we got this one thing, but let's add another layer.
So what's everyone thinking of this time? Yeah, let's fucking twist that around.
All right, so they got to go into this building. There's these hostages. What if the hostages are actually not hostages?
What if they're dogs?
What if there's only two ferries and the Gotham General is really understaffed?
One hospital and two ferries.
Yeah, but Batman, he takes them all out. By the way, Batman is really good. We haven't really talked about the Hong Kong scene because it's not really that important. But with that like sticky gun that fires bombs, he's like so accurate. He gets them on all these little pylons in this construction site perfectly.
How about the fucking plane scene when he like evacuates the building?
Yeah.
And he like shoots out the side with his little parachute and then the plane.
He just gets like, taken off.
It just like the plane just kind of like grabs it with its propeller and then he just bang, just gets taken off, loaded in the back of the plane.
They love a little plane because we get that in the next one, don't we?
Yeah, the next one's bang. Yeah, with the bang in the plane.
Yeah.
Perhaps he's thinking why he would shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane.
But how does he get the Joker in the end? He just defeated them all.
He just fights him in that building.
He just fights him and then he kind of like
Joker has
he kind of like throws him off the edge and then just
he's going to let him fall too.
He's like laughing while he falls down as well.
Yeah, he's just like,
he's like happy
because he's like Batman's just killed me. He's like I've corrupted. He's like I've done my job.
Yeah. Incorruptible.
And then you basically see him get like hit by the little like
lasso thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, hoisting and like, and then as he starts getting hoisted back, he's like, fuck. He just knows that he's lost.
Yeah. What about the scene after? Because Harvey has kidnapped Detective Gordon's family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's still the problem of Harvey. And he is going to kill his family in front of him. And that scene, I think, is very well acted from Eckhart and Oldman and the rest
of them. Even the little kid, like standing there, like getting held by Harvey with a gun to his head, basically. Just, yeah.
Yeah. And we see just how, like, far gone Harvey is, because he flips a coin for, I think, the wife, and then flips a coin for himself, and he's going to shoot himself, which would have just not done anything.
Kill anyone else.
And then he's going to kill the kid, and then Batman comes in, saves the day, and then we realize that once Harvey's died because he fell off the building, that Harvey can't be outed as, like, what he became.
Yeah, because you never, like, he was never exposed to, like, society as, like, what he was doing with just, like, flipping coins and shooting people and, like, actually, like, creating a bit of havoc, you know, like, kind of lost it. And you've got that scene where it's, like, half of Harvey's face kind of, like, all the burnt half, and then, like, Batman kind of, like, twists his head, and he's like, he's like, they can never know, like, what he did. Like, he has to be the symbol of, like, solidarity or whatever he says for Gotham, so there's like still hope.
Yeah.
And then that's when, like, at this point, at the end of the movie, doesn't Batman sort of go into, like, solace, like hiding?
Yeah, he takes the fall as for killing Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
And then he has to run off, and Oldman says that he has to be, the hero that we don't deserve, but the hero that we need, or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And he runs off, and I love this ending. I sort of forgot that it was, like, the final words, but Detective Gordon's like, he's a silent guardian, a watchful protector, a dark knight. And then it's just bang, the dark knight.
Christopher Nolan, cut to black ending.
Cut to
and
then black. Just
put my title up.
And then he goes,
I've got chills goes, just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's
and Hans comes in, the dark knight. Yeah. Oh, man. It's so good. I probably rewatch this once a year, and it just hits.
And then when it's done, you sit there like the Joker in jail and go,
it's like, my insides hurt.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Cinemates. Make sure to follow us and leave a review on your chosen streaming platforms. Also, check out our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube channel for more Cinemates content. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge Australia's First Nations people as the traditional owners and custodians of the land, and pay respect to the Cammeraygal people of the Eora Nation, upon whose country Cinemaze is based. We honour the storytelling and culture of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities across Australia. Also, in the spirit of chatting with mates, remember it's always important to check in with those around you. Whether it's friends, family or colleagues, sometimes they may be going through a hard time. Chatting with them may reassure them that they aren't alone. If you or anyone you know is ever struggling, call Lifeline on 13 11 14.